And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step.
Yo, welcome to the Cold World Podcast. How's everybody out there doing? It's been a really, really busy last few weeks, man. I got a lot to update folks on. But one, I'm happy to be talking to people. This is one of my favorite things to do. So I'm looking forward to updating folks. It's been just on some of the stuff that's been going on, like in this community, with what that work has been looking like, and some of the fun stuff, man, and just some of the fun stuff I like to actually do, you know, because I think people just see all, you know, I think that, like, I'm a person who's really public and visible, like, for work type stuff, but I think then people become, like, my friends, and they expect me to be like that in my personal life, and it just ain't the case. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but some of the other things that I really want to make sure I zone in on is just some of the work that I've been doing with the district, which has been really cool, and in West Oakland. So I'm gonna jump into that a little bit. I got to give a keynote speech. Well, not a keynote, but I got to give like a talk yesterday to some college students. Man, it was dope. That was just really fun. So we'll go into that a bit. And then there was a young man that I was talking to. And he was just asking me, like, what rules I follow or just for some advice. And we was talking about it. And he was like, you should, like, put that out there. So I'll just share what I talked to him about. And folks can definitely disagree with him. But that's one reason I want to talk about it here. I'm interested to hear how people, react to what I told him. He and I grew up similarly. So I just told him things that worked for me or that I try to follow. But that might be something really different for people. But anyway, with no further ado, let's jump into it. So I started working at the Oakland School District, right? The Oakland Unified School District. School district I grew up in. Super proud of that work. Glad that I really get to engage with that work on a different level, right? So I specialize in working in West Oakland. And right now, we're working on building this. It's called the center. It's the central kitchen that's going to feed kids, the kids in the district, really fresh food that's not pre-wrapped and all that stuff. It's really dope. It's like a $34 million project. It's going to be really good for the city, and putting it where it's going is going to be really good for that neighborhood and that community. So we had a community engagement a few days ago just to kind of walk people through, you know, and like just walk people through like that process and what's happening and legally and all that stuff. But I mean, one of the things that team and I really worked on and spent time on is like, if we really was trying to help people, like that's something that's forward thinking. It's going to take a while for it to get built, you know, all that stuff. But instantly, how can we help people, right? Like right now, and folks need jobs, man. There's a lot of people out there that's trying to get jobs. Like Oakland is a tough, it's expensive to live in Oakland. You know what I'm saying? It's really expensive, right? So we wanted to do this job fair, right? So we're doing this job fair in West Oakland at Hoover Elementary School next Saturday, the 10th. And this job, regardless of what your skills are, regardless if you have a college degree, even a high school diploma for some of these jobs, we want to make it accessible for people that are really in need of jobs. And so when you get into the district, for the majority of these jobs, like if you get through probation, like you will have full benefits, which is really cool. And a lot of people don't have that. So, you know, just in trying to do this work, I work in education, but if we really trying to help people, you know, you got to make sure that you addressing some of the larger issues that they have, right? So it's just something I've been thinking about, and just other ways that we could be helpful to folks so people can really focus on their kids and focus on their kids getting the best education and, you know, getting people in as involved as we can. So I don't know. That's interesting. So I wanted to just share that. But a lot of my time has just been going into that, which is great. It's fine. It's just a lot of time. That's enough, I guess, with like the work talk. One of the really dope things that I got to do. Sometimes I get to do cool stuff. Like sometimes I get to travel places, and sometimes I get to write some really amazing things. But one of my favorite things to do is to do public speaking gigs, like talking to folks and really engaging with people. So there was this group of folks doing their national convention here. I think Students for Air Reform. And it was just all these college students just on fire about education and what they could do and how they could be a part of improving education for kids, because it's just not where it needs to be right now. And I was asked to come in and speak with a group of and speak with these folks for, you know, I had like 40 minutes or something like that. But man, college students are one of my favorite groups to talk to. And the reason why, one, the combination of hope and energy, like, it's only captured in that moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you just have so much hope for the world and you just have a ton of energy, like, you can actually go out and do a bunch of stuff. And, like, when I was in college, we led that walkout at Cal State Hayward, which is now Cal State East Bay. But the hours that we were doing that, the type of energy that we brought, like, people use that energy. They really tapped into that, because we didn't have, for the majority of us, didn't have kids. You know what I mean? Like, we just had class. We didn't have like homes and mortgages and you know, these jobs that we had to, like, we was able to just really get in there and do some work. And so that really gave me a different type of energy when I went and met with these folks yesterday, which was Saturday. But they gave me a lot of energy, man. I posted something I got a little bit of it on camera. I was going to Periscope it, but I just didn't. I don't know why. It probably would have been cool to Periscope it. But basically, I talked about education, but from like the lens of a real person. So I talked about my own education coming up in public, in the public system, and just what that looked like, and just what we're fighting for. And what those consequences can be. And it was just a really engaging conversation, and those folks had a lot of insight, and I think that they're gonna do just a whole bunch of they're gonna do a lot of work, you know what I'm saying? But that, I mean, that brings me to some of the other things though that my weekend has kind of been consumed with. So I got friends that, here's the thing, like, if you've known me for years, like, you know that I go through different seasons. So there are different stages where I can sit down and chill and, like, be out with friends and folks and things like that. But I really don't get energy from going out. Like, I don't get energy from meeting up with a bunch of friends and going, you know, to dinner and things like that. Like, I just, like, I'll do it. It's not, like, agonizing at times, you know what I mean? But it's just not something that I tend to look for, you know? Aside from like the small groups that I kind of link up with on certain Saturday mornings when we do like our little Starbucks We pray and we chat and we do those things. I love that. But for the most part, like, I don't need to necessarily be on the scene. Like, I'll go out when it is conducive to a goal that I have. So usually if it's around work or making a connection or whatever, you know. But personally, it's just not something that I like to genuinely do, right? And I'm talking about this because I have had this conversation with multiple people as of late as when it comes to my time. And I, you know, and these are people that I've known, you know what I mean? Like, some of these people I've known for years, some of these people not for years, but it's becoming like an increasing issue. So let me tell you, let me paint the perfect picture of what I, of the perfect night for me, all right? The perfect night for me includes me coming home to a really clean house. Like, I'll pay for my house to be exceptionally clean. Like, if it's clutter around, I can't focus. It gets me down. Like, I can't operate. So, the house, come home to a really clean house. And then, if there's, like, some really great food, like, at the house. Like, I love seafood. So, if I can get, like, some seafood here, maybe I'll go get some, like, some really good takeout or something like that and bring it home or go to a restaurant and get it to go and come home. And if there's like a movie that is fresh, right? Like, it's a fresh movie. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. And now I get to watch it either in my living room or in my bedroom. Like, and a great drink. That is one of the, that's a perfect night for me. Like, that is what I want to do. So, and I rarely get those kind of nights because I'm usually getting home really late from work and I got to be up really early the next day to do whatever, you know what I mean? So that is something that I pine for. Like, that's what I want to do. So when it comes and it's like a Friday night and that's the, and I know that that's the only night that I can actually, you know, where I'm not getting up at the crack of dawn the next day. Like, I don't want to go, I don't want to ruin that night, right? Like, does that make sense to people? The other thing is, because people are like, well, I see you go out, I see pictures on Instagram. Now, I love to travel. I love planes. I don't know what it is, but I love airports. Like, I'm the person that when I have a flight, let's say my flight leaves at 11 a.m. Like, I'll be at the airport at 7. Like, I'll be at the airport at 7 because have you ever had to run through an airport? Have you ever had to rush through an airport? It's the worst. Every time I've had to rush through an airport, I've lost something. I've been frazzled. Like, I've, like, getting on planes sweaty and stuff. Like, that's just not what I enjoy doing. I don't want to do that. Like, at all, you know what I mean? So that's one thing, you know. But so when I go to another city, like, I can explore that city, right? Like, I love going out exploring by myself. Like, I have like these really nice headphones. Like, I'll go out, I'll go see stuff, take pictures. Like, I just like being alone. Like, it's just something. It's just enjoyable to me. Maybe it's how I grew up. I moved around a lot. Like, I was 6 years older than my brother and 8 years older than my sister. So I was on my own for a bunch of that. And I just get energy that way. But I can go to concerts alone, movies, dinner. Going to dinner alone is one of my favorite things. Think about this from a guy's perspective, right? Like, you know, my mom definitely taught me well, right? So if I go out to dinner, like, if I take somebody out, like, I'm used to having to pay, which is fine, you know. I know people be like, I'll pay for myself, but that's just not how I was taught. So what I like to do when I'm alone, and then you realize you're alone, and you're like, oh, snap, I'm only paying for one person. So then, like, I can get, like, the really good steak. Like, I like great steak. I don't eat it that often because you can't. It's not good for you, but when I do, like, I like it. I like nice dinners. I like that stuff. So apparently I'm the weirdest person in the world to my friends or the people that know me. Like my own parents can probably attest to all this stuff. If you ever get a chance to talk to Charles Cole Jr. or Renata Cole, you can ask them when the last time we all went out to dinner. Since I graduated from college, from undergrad in 2005, I've gone out to eat with my parents twice. We all went to dinner after my graduation, and then I think maybe 2 years ago, they came by my house and we ate. I live in Oakland by the lake, so there's a lot of food places on the lake, and we ate at this little spot on the lake. Those are my parents, people. These are the people that birthed me. Like, you gotta, like, I just want you to understand. It's not you, right? Like, it's not like that Charles does not enjoy hanging out with you. He just does not enjoy hanging out. Like, that's just not what it's about for me. So, you know, now let's not get it twisted. I know my brother Will was on here, one of my best friends. He was on one of these podcasts, and he will tell you that there was a time in my life where I went out a lot, a whole lot, like college. Listen, man, we, that whole club thing, we used to rule that thing. If you came out with us, you had a really good time. I would just say that. All right. That is a long, long time ago. I have partied and enjoyed myself for enough lifetimes. Like I have done that. That has happened. So I don't know, man. I really like calm and nice now. I would prefer to spend my weekends at a Starbucks or at a bookstore, reading a book, writing, you know, that's what I would prefer to do. That is. And so I don't know, but that's just me. I'm curious to hear other folks. Some people just really get energy from other people, though. And I just haven't, and I don't. And I don't know. Maybe it is something wrong with me, but I just got to rock with it. That's just what I like. I have worked hard to be able to build a certain type of life that allows me to do those things. So one of the things I really want to do is I'm trying to save some money. That's probably not going to happen. But, like, I want to go to Brazil alone. Like, I want to go to Brazil for, like, a week or two by myself, maybe get an Airbnb out there, and just, it's going to be great. I want to eat great food. I will go out. It's going to, that's what I enjoy doing. I have traveled the majority of this country alone and had amazing times. Now, that's not to say that there's never a time where I would, like, go and travel with somebody or that I couldn't. I'm just, in this dream trip, I just picture it, say it with me, alone. Because if you know me, I am crazy about my time. Like, crazy. And, like, this dude is super OCD. You know what? You just got to own it. You just got to own who you are. I personally feel it's disrespectful to, like, not take somebody else's time in consideration, right? So if I tell you that I'm going to do something at 10 p.m., like, and it doesn't happen, like, I feel like I just disrespected your time. Like, you could have been doing other things. Like, people have limited time. So I don't know. Growing up in the hood, I don't know if it's CP time or whatever. And my brother makes fun of me about this because I'd be like, hey, man, what time are we doing X? And he'd be like, oh, it's good. We'll do it around 7. No, man, I don't want to hear around. Give me a time. Because this is the thing. I'm usually doing something right before. So I want to make sure I plan. Am I the only person that's like this? Y'all tell, like, real talk. You tell me if I'm weird. If I'm the only person that's like this. I just can't be rocking by the seat of my pants, man. So another reason why I like rocking by myself is because I can do those things just on my time. Anyway. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Ip Square. I appreciate that answer. Because people in my life be looking at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that happens in personal life. And then at work, like, I'll look at my schedule. Like, I plan things in there. Like, now what I do is I be trying to get work time. What's up, Dave? I'm also periscoping this, so I interact with folks at the same time that I'm doing this. But like, the one thing, man, is drives me crazy. Like, I try to plan out my time because I'll be having a lot of work to do, and I also need to meet with a lot of people. And then it'll be like, then meetings will just show up, and it's not nobody's fault. It just happened. It's just the nature of the beast. But it drives me crazy, man. Like, as it's but I'm dealing with it. I'm learning. I'm getting in front of that. I am doing that. I am getting ahead of that. Anyway, let me pivot. Let me pivot from my own OCD ways. I get it. I understand. I get it. Everybody can't do that. Right. Got it. Needs to loosen up. So back to some of the work that I like doing. Like, I spend a lot of time with young folks. And like, this kid asked me just about my process and how I like to how do I function? Like, so this kid perceives me as being successful. Now, that's debatable. I do okay. I do all right. In my eyes, with the bar that I've set, I'm nowhere near successful or what I want to be. But for all intents and purposes, for this young person that is looking at like the type of job that I have, the type of work I get to do, the type of freedom I have, and the type of education I have, I am successful in his eyes. God bless him. That is awesome. I should keep him around with me all the time, right? But he was like, you know, can you just tell me, like, if you had to break it down in some rules, what would those rules be? So these are the rules I gave him, and I'm going to share with y'all. So the first one was, I put all these on Twitter too. And my Twitter is @CColeIII. So @CColeIII. That's Twitter and Instagram. So the first one I put was, determine what you want and like really believe that you deserve it. Growing up poor, I somehow didn't believe I deserved anything good. And I'm telling you that that's a lie, right? And so that's really important. It's the first thing that came to my mind, because you just grow up not thinking that you deserve anything good. You, like, when bad things happen, you always find a way. Well, I did. I always found a way that, dang, what could I have done differently to prevent that or to not be in that situation? And a lot of times stuff just happened to you. Like, when you poor and you live in the ghetto, guess what? Bad things tends to happen to poor people in the ghetto that don't have resources, right? So, you know, but once I started to have a different mindset about that stuff, I was able to, I was able to go after things differently. I just went at it a bit more hungry, and I actually saw that things start to happen better. So, you know, I had one of those families that every time something bad happened, they was calling you or such and such in the family did this or said this. And I had to cancel all that, man. I told people, like, don't call me if it's negative. I got to that point. I was so fed up, and it worked. And I don't care who you are. Like, anybody can get that. Like, it can be my mama. It can be the third cousin. Like, it's like, listen, if only time I hear from you is going to be negative, then now that every time that phone ring or I get a text from you, I'm getting anxious because it's something that you about to tell me and you about to make your problems mine in some kind of way, I can't do it. And when I let that go and all that wasn't on me, I actually did a lot better in life. That could be cutthroat. You can see that in a bunch of different ways. My life changed, and a lot of those people still miserable. I love them to death. I just can't rock with it. The second thing I told him was, be aggressive for those goals. Like, I grew up in a really aggressive environment. So, you know, I took my education, like, I took my mentors, and I took these opportunities, because when I waited for folks and had to wait on the decency of people and the charity of people, like, people will let you down, man. And it's not necessarily their fault. People are human, right? Like, humans are just imperfect beings. And so, but what I learned was, when I saw how other people operated, and they went for the things that they wanted, and they didn't let things get in their way, you know. And I think the one thing, I was never like the tough kid. That just wasn't who I was. But just living in the environment that I grew up in, like, you just see aggression around you every day. Like, an aggression is just met with aggression. And I've learned how to, like, utilize that energy in my life. So, for instance, I'm not afraid to talk to any supervisor. Like, let me just explain what I mean. Like, if somebody's door, if you work in a place and that door is open, that's an invitation to me. If they didn't want you coming in, then the door would be closed. Every job that I've had, I've built strong relationships with the CEO of that company. It's not like I ain't never been nobody's bootlicker. I don't kiss up to nobody, but I like to just talk to people. Like, I talk to that person the same way I would talk to the janitor. And I think that on some level, people respect that. And like, I've never been that person scared to approach somebody. And I ask them, I ask for stuff. I'll ask somebody to mentor me. I'll ask somebody to tell me how I can do better, to tell me how they got to where they got to. And when people see that you genuinely interested in them, it's just, you just build relationships. And so that was one thing that I told him about, just being aggressive for what they want. And then the third thing I told him in line with that was to just make up your mind that no one or nothing is going to outwork you or keep you from your goals. Like, I have this saying that I do in a lot of time and in a lot of my speeches, where it's like, somebody's always going to be prettier, faster. Somebody's going to always have more money, but you control how hard you work. Like, you're not going to outwork me. And I learned that just in kind of playing basketball. I just wasn't naturally gifted as an athlete. Like, I became a decent basketball player because of the work that I put in. And I know a lot of people that I played ball with that just were naturally built or naturally good. But when you don't meet that with the proper, like, work that comes with it, like, you're gonna plateau. And I just have always played from that position. I've always played from, like, the underdog position. And just I was just behind because I moved so much and I had to play catch up. So I just got this in my head that I was gonna work real hard. And I'm trying to work harder and trying to work smarter, not necessarily just harder, but it's, for me, it started with just working real hard, just finding out what I wanted, feeling like I deserved it, and then going real hard for it and not letting anybody get in the way of that. The next part I kind of touched on earlier, but it was around building strong networks and getting dope mentors. Like I said, I steal mentors. And I told this kid, I said, man, this is what I did learn. I learned that success is 20% of what you know, but like in my life, I feel like it's 80% of that has been who you know. And I've just seen that in other aspects of my life where folks have just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I've worked my butt off and I've gotten kind of okay. I've gotten some decent results, but then I've seen people like make a few calls and be put in a situation a lot quicker, or having a certain type of cover. It's just good, like, on a political level. And I think that's probably where, I think that's just, you just need to make real strong connections. And I think that once you feel like you deserve something, and I'm not saying like be a jerk about it, but once you feel like you deserve better than what you got, you know, I just think you move differently. And so don't be afraid to ask somebody for help, man. Like, don't be afraid. If somebody got what you want, like, don't be afraid to ask them how they got there. Either they're going to say yes or they're going to say no. They're either going to answer you or they not. And you just keep it pushing. But for that kid, I told him to be aggressive. That's his job right now. And the fifth thing I said is that you just don't want it if you're not willing to sacrifice. So sacrifice, man, is big. And I joked around with this earlier today, in this podcast even, but I sacrificed a lot, man. I sacrificed friends, relationships, money, and more stuff just to, I had to make those sacrifices to get to where I am in my life. Like, in college, I had to sacrifice some stuff. I had to let some people go because college wasn't that easy. And I was paying for it and I was working two jobs. And you got to make those sacrifices. And I can remember those nights where folks was going out. This is actually when I was going out and I was really enjoying myself, but I would stay home And you know, and I remember like one of my friends like laughing at me, like just straight up laughing at me. And it's you know, 12 years removed from that moment. Hey, we in really different places in our lives. I'm just keeping it real with you. That's not even, you know what I'm saying? It's just that's something real big for me around a sacrifice. Six was that I told them that folks will abandon you while you losing. And then when you start winning again, they'll claim they're there with you the entire time. Man, I need to take a sip of water on that one. Like, people like to bet on sure things. And if they don't know how you're going to do, man, like, it's two things that I saw happen. One, they either just not going to fool with you because somebody next to you is winning more and it behooves them to be next to the winner. Or two, they want to keep you in that misery, man. That's the one thing about growing up in the hood around folks that had a different mindset is, like, it's hard being down in the dumps, but it's easier when other people down in the dumps with you. So people will try to keep you there. Don't do it. And you can't take it personal, man. You can't be surprised. You just got to be focused. You can't take it personal. You can't be surprised by it. You can't get emotional about it. You just got to stay focused. That's why the focus piece is so important, because if you focused, like, you know what the end game is. If you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you just, even though you still getting hit by rocks along the way and you tripping and you stumbling, but you know that's where you're going is to that light, then you can, it's easier to just keep going that way. It's when you lose that focus, man. When you lose that, then it's like, you know what? Dang, man, something hit me in my leg. Let me just sit down here for a little bit and worry about this leg. You know, let me just do that. And before you know it, you because you didn't have any aim, you lost in that tunnel. I told him to grow and mature, but like never lose that chip on your shoulder. Like, you can learn to contain it and you can learn when to use it, but you can't lose it. That edge helped me survive. I was an angry person, man. I was angry at everything. I grew up in some in some real foul environments. I saw some real foul things. I had people that I loved deeply, like, let me down constantly. Like, I was mad. And I was able to convert that negative energy into something positive. Hence, Energy Converter. EnergyConverters.org. Go check that out. But no, man. Like, even now, like, I can smile, I can throw on a suit, I can wear a tie with a tie clip. I got a big old smile that can go from ear to ear, but I'm still that angry person. And I mean, it just motivates me, man. Like Michael Jordan was the type of person where you could just be like, you could say something real mundane and he just remember that. And then he go for 55 on you. You know, like, I kind of think like that. It's like, oh, wait, okay, you didn't think that my work was up to par. Okay, it's cool. It's not, I got you. It's okay. And then you kind of do overkill. Like, I don't know. That chip just helped me out a lot. I've learned to manage it. I've learned to know when to pull that out the bag. But it just, I just don't think you can't lose the things that helped you survive in the first place. And you got to know the rules. This goes in line with that. But the other thing I told him is that you got to know that the rules change with the setting. So you need to be well-versed in those. So the corporate rules don't work in the streets, and the streets rules don't always work in the corporate world. And you need to know the difference. Some people will call this code switching. Some people will call this understanding the rules. Whatever it is, you need to learn it. You got to learn how to operate in these places. And you need to master those rules so you know when to break them. Like, you know when to bring that bit of, like, street knowledge that you have into that boardroom. Like, it's an intricate game, man, but you, in order to master that and do that, you have to be well-versed in those rules. The other thing, man, I said, you got to be confident. And when you a young black man, like, it's going to come off as cockiness. It just is. I get called cocky a lot. And I don't think I'm better than anybody. I got a lot of things wrong with me. I got a lot of failures that I have daily. Like, this weekend, I did not accomplish all the things that I wanted to get to. But I'm confident. I am confident. I'm confident in taking that shot and missing, because there's been a bunch of times I've passed the ball to somebody else to take the shot and they missed, and I was like, well, I could have did that. And sometimes that ball goes in, man. So be confident. And here's the thing. If you was a white man showing that same type of confidence and the same things, you get really respected. But if you a black dude from Oakland or Chicago or Detroit or whatever, it look like you strutting. Or if you a woman or whatever, you know, if you don't fit into that paradigm, it's gonna look a different type of way, and you just gotta be able to shrug that off on some level, man. But confidence is just, man, and your confidence will get shaken. My confidence gets shaken all the time. I was in a meeting a few days ago, and I swear, when I went into the meeting, I thought I knew exactly what was happening. And by the middle of that, I was like, I don't know what's going on. And it's like, you should know this. Confidence got shaken, man. But it's like, let me regroup and let me come back and, like, you know, ask the questions that I need to. But what do I need to focus on? And then I refocus. Look, man, like I said, I may not know it. I may not get it the first time. Somebody may be faster, whatever. But if it's between you and me, is you got to look me in the eyes and it's you and me, I'm going to get you. I don't know how, but I'm going to work, man. And that's kind of what I told him. And the last thing I told him is that you just going to fail far more than you're going to win. That's just life, and it's good for you. Like, you can fall. I told him, fall 79 times, get up on the 98th. Like, you going to fall a lot. I talk about failure so much because so much of my life I failed way, way, way more than I've won. But people see the wins, right? Like, it's you know, like, that kid sees the wins. He sees, even though I deal with, like, the failures or the losses and all that stuff, you know, what that kid sees is like, well, I see the degrees. A lot of people that where we grew up don't have multiple degrees. I see the type of job you have. Where I grew up, most people don't have that type of stuff. In my book, you up by 25, you know? But it's like, on the day-to-day, it's like, man, I wanted to do these six things. I only did these three. Or I wanted to kill that presentation. I didn't. Or I wanted to build that relationship, and I just can't, you know? But you're going to deal with that, you know? But it makes you stronger. Like, you just got to learn from it. So, that was the talk I had with that kid, man. It was dope. It was really great, and I enjoyed it. And he wanted me to share it. So you can find it on my Twitter page, and it's there. But at any rate, I'm looking forward to talking to y'all again soon. I'm going to get up out of here, man. I got to, because I know it's going to take me a lot of time to figure out what the music going to be, because that's what I spend all this time on. Did y'all like that Frank Sinatra at the beginning, though? Right? Frank is a beast, man. I like Frank Sinatra. I'll be in my office, and I do this thing. I haven't done it in my new office. I did an office where I was, like, the director and stuff. But I would have, like, on YouTube plan would be, like, somebody's classic, like, concert, right? So, you know, I've done, like, that for Stevie Wonder or Michael Jackson, something like that. And then one day I did Sinatra. And I loved it. I was really, really impressed. He was a really dope showman. So, and My Way is just a dope song to me. So I like it a lot. But at any rate, man, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Take care of your community. And I look forward to chatting with you all soon. Have a great one. Peace. I'm from the hood, man. The final cut. No, the real hood, not the rap hood. Real hood, like my friends, I'll say it clear. A pair of sneakers, my mom's busting ass. Save my case. I'm going to Japan tomorrow. Which I'm certain. You understand what I'm saying? Can you believe that? There are people waiting at the airport like 5 days, like I'm a Beatle or something. That's real talk. I've traveled each and every highway. Seen the best of the best, the worst of the worst. Much
much more still than here. This, I didn't mind.
Let's try this one. Yeah. Gangsta nigga, put my hustle down, tore the game up nigga, took your high score down, put my name up nigga, tore the doors down to the Hall of Fame, it's Jigga, I did it my way.
Much more than this.
That's right, it's a beautiful thing,
I
man.
Did it
my way. Hovey, baby. Mama's younger and stronger, survived summers like saunas, master the corner like Dion in his uniform. Pop hurt and deserted, flirted with death, damn near murdered before my first album hit the shelf. Grandma's favorite, she cannot understand how there's people in the world who wouldn't want me as a neighbor. Had to explain to her, you think these folks want me in the penthouse as a reminder that I make top paper. Black entrepreneur, nobody did us no favors, nobody gave us shit. We made us, the Rat Pack, I'm Sinatra, Dame Sam Davis. Big's the smart one on the low like Dee Martin. We came in this game, not begging niggas pardon, demanding y'all respect. Hand over a check, and while y'all at it, hand